So this recognition tonight is a recognition of all of us, and particularly of your parents and your educators, of saying, here's the toolbox. My challenge to you tonight is in the particular area of your spiritual growth, of continuing to grow in the grace of God, because in my mind, that is the most important area of your life. Because if you lose spiritual health, if you lose your relationship with the Lord, if you lose, and by that I don't mean losing your salvation. That's something God gives and he doesn't take away. But if you lose that, the spiritual health, if your tools spiritually get rusty, you will start to have struggles that affect other areas of your life. Family, future marriages, raising children, vocational conflicts. If you lose that spiritual bearing, those things will begin to be effective. My challenge to you tonight is going to be simple to remember, but will require a lifetime of faithfulness to fulfill, as I want to challenge you in the area of your spiritual growth in the Christian walk, a walk that has never been an easy task and never will be. It's a battle every day against the world, against your own flesh, and against the devil, who is a real enemy who seeks daily whom he may devour. So I charge you tonight, be salty, shine brightly. But I want to tell you what that means. What does it mean to be salty? In a word, it means sanctification. It means being set apart. It means being holy in an unholy world. The scripture again says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. The use of the term salt here is very specific, because salt in Near Eastern culture and in ancient culture, as well as throughout history, has had a very important purpose. And one of the purposes is that salt is a preserving agent for all kinds of things. Salt is used to cure and to heal wounds. Salt would be used to cure meats and to allow them to be sustained for a lot longer period of time. And it's used analogously to say, in your life, you need to be salty. You need to be sanctified or set apart for a holy purpose, so that you in the world, in the culture, can have a preserving effect or can have an influencing effect on the world. I know we're in a Navy town, so you might think of salty and you think of a cantankerous old salty sailor. That's not the same kind of usage, right? This is speaking about a need to be set apart unto Christ, willing to be a true Christian whose life is a source of holiness that is on display for the world to savor, for the world to be influenced by. We desperately need Christian men and women, not just these three graduates, but every one of you who sits in this sanctuary tonight. We desperately need Christian men and women to be a sanctified or set apart holy people pursuing the holy purposes of God in this generation. Don't lose your savoriness. Salt, when you taste it, it has a great, I think, great flavor. Makes food taste better that's bland. It gives it a savor. Don't lose your savor by becoming a part of the crowd. And I'm going to say specifically, a part of the crowd of professing Christians who want so badly to be accepted by the world that they compromise personal holiness at every hand, trying to be whatever the new flavor of cool is in the world. And in doing so, what you do when you think you're becoming cool and you think you're becoming accepted and you think you're becoming like a part of things, you really just lost any significance of ability to influence people who need you to be salty. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Wherewith will we get the saltiness if salt loses its effectiveness, no longer purifies. It no longer preserves. It no longer gives a sense of savor to the taste. It's just good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Be salty. Make a difference. Be willing to stand on the bow of the ship with your face towards the wind when everybody's hiding from the storm that rage. Be willing to stand for Christ. Peter says this about our sanctification, about our holiness. He says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We are called to be a holy people because if we're Christians, we've been made holy. Therefore, be holy. Live holy. Christ has called us to this. Just this week, we're hosting a conference, and the theme was about Joshua and Caleb. Caleb wanted this mountain. He still desired the mountain that he had seen in his youth, even as an old man. Joshua 24, verse 15, says this, when Joshua declared, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you dwell. Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is what I want to encourage all of you, Jason and Elijah and Daniel. Be men who say, I'm going to choose to be salty. I'm going to choose, in other words, to serve the Lord. I'm going to choose to walk in sanctification and honor before the Lord. Titus says this, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, which means serious-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, gravitas, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of our Savior in all things. Now, verse 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. This is really what sanctification is all about. And this passage begins with exhortation to young women and young men and older women being examples. It says this, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, serious-mindedly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, a set-apart people, tonight for the sake of illustration, a salty people, zealous of good works, seeking to do what pleases the Lord. Not to be accepted by God, but because you already are. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, be salty and shine brightly. The scripture that your dad read, Elijah, and the two verses that preceded are a summary of what makes up. This is what the summary of that is, to shine brightly. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As kids, like the kids singing up here tonight, we used to sing the song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You know the song? Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it shine. Right? That was intense. But you know what? The simplicity of that song and the clarity of its truth is something we need to hear on a regular basis, because we live our lives too frequently trying to not really make it an issue that we are Christians, trying not really to share too much because we don't want to be, you know, making other people uncomfortable, or not really sharing the gospel because, well, we don't want to, you know, make enemies, or and we have a lot of reasons, but the reality is what we're doing oftentimes is not shining brightly. We're hiding the light under a bushel, literally hiding it under the bed of our house, rather than doing what the Lord wants us to do, which is to set our light on a candlestick. Like a city, it's giving you different analogies. A light is not supposed to be hidden under a bushel. A light is set up on a candlestick so that all the house can see. A city that's set on a hill, this is God's plan. We're to be a city within the city. And a city set on a hill cannot be hid. The light shines and everywhere around it can see. That's what Christ wants from our lives. That's what he wants from you young men. To shine brightly. To be the light. To shine the light. Being salty really has to do with about our personal life, our life of holiness, how we are being in our Christian faith. And I think that the example of shining the light is what we do. Right? We need to be Christians genuinely, be holy because he is holy, walk in a righteous way. But then we need to realize he wants us to declare his righteousness to the world. He wants us to proclaim his goodness to the world. He wants us to spread the light. And we do that by witnessing in both words and works. Your light is to be shining before men that they may see your good works, and not to bring glory to you, to make you look good, but they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our witness is made up of words and works. It's not just actions without words, and it's not just words without actions. It's both. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. But you are then created as a new creation, as his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, so that we might shine the light and bring him glory. Your young men, I love the passage in Timothy that says, "Let no man despise thy youth." Literally, don't give them a reason to despise your youthfulness. But be an example of the believers in word, what you say, in conversation. This is a word that means in your lifestyle or your life conduct, in your sanctification, in charity, in your love, in action, that you genuinely are loving people. And you're loving them like Jesus does. You're loving broken people, sinners who are in need of Christ, just like you were in need of Christ. In spirit, that you would be of a joyful, Christ-like spirit. And in faith, being willing to trust God to do great things. And in your purity, that you would be set apart and you would be a light by your purity of life, your purity of speech, your purity of your behaviors in every area of your life. You would witness in words and works, remembering that's what Christ has called you to do. Colossians says it this way, "That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, meaning people in the world. They need Christians not to run and hide. They need Christians to be salty and to shine the light. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, love, seasoned with salt, truth. Just like Jesus, he came with grace and truth. He is grace and truth. He is salt and light, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And then lastly, speak the truth boldly. Declare the gospel. In Ephesians, it speaks of the armor of God. In the end of that passage, Paul says this, "And for me, that utterance words may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, to spread the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then he says, and because you are mine, you are to reflect that light, and ye are called to be a light in the world. You are called to be men who shine brightly for the glory of Christ. The church needs you to be salty and to shine brightly. The world, though the world will not acknowledge it, and the world doesn't know it, it desperately needs you in this generation to be the kind of Christ-like followers who are salty and who shine brightly. Remember this. Christ has called you to this. So to the graduates, I say, go. Use the toolbox that you've been given to pursue intellectual pursuits, vocational pursuits, relational pursuits that are honoring to the Lord, but most of all, to pursue spiritually a walk with Christ that you might be salty and shine brightly. That is my charge to you tonight. Let's pray.